Morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 14. It reads, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So this morning we're going to look at the biblical figure Caleb. He was one of the original spies sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan. Caleb and Joshua were the only two people from the first generation of the Israelites that actually left Egypt to enter into the promised land of Canaan. These two men had great faith in God. They had great faith in his ability to deliver on his promises concerning the promised land. And these two men were different compared to the majority of the Israelites. You see, after the spies came back to report their findings from the land of Canaan, the Israelites, they didn't believe in God's ability to help them overcome what was in the promised land. Giants, the fortified cities, they didn't trust that God would help them through those obstacles. So the Israelites, they wanted to go back into bondage under the Egyptians. Maybe they had what Pastor James spoke about last week, an ungodly fear. An ungodly fear of the unknown, the irrational, the uncontrollable. Whatever it was, they just did not trust God to help them. But Caleb and Joshua trusted God, and he trusted his plan. So I want to begin my reading in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how Amakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. And it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua said him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Three applications arise out of this passage. First, Caleb's inheritance was through faith, and so are believers. Second, we can all do a better job wholly following the Lord. And third, let the years that pass by strengthen your faith. First, Caleb's inheritance was through faith, and so are believers. So Caleb inherited Hebron. Hebron is located in the southern western bank, about 20 miles south of Jerusalem, and is still around to this day. Many consider it the second holiest city besides Jerusalem in this region. Today, for any of us to receive an inheritance, our parents or someone you know passes on and leaves something behind for you. Now, for one to receive a spiritual inheritance, which is a place in God's heavenly kingdom, one has to be born again. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The phrase "born again" simply means to be born from above. We've all had a physical birth, but not all people have had that spiritual birth. This is a regeneration, a rebirth spiritually bestowed by God to the believer. And this act in itself can only happen through a person's faith in Jesus Christ. If you believe the gospel, the good news that God sent his only begotten son Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, your salvation, your heavenly inheritance is secure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Galatians 3:26 reads, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." There is only one way to the Father, one way to having that spiritual inheritance, and that's through Jesus. Without Christ, we're all spiritually dead in our sins, contaminated, unholy, unrighteous, and guilty of sin. We're all separated from a perfect, holy God. Just think, a soul without Christ is like oil. It's dirty, filthy, and God is like pure water. The two cannot be mixed, but naturally remain separated. And this cannot be fixed when a person dies. Jesus will say, "I never knew you, depart from me." But this separation problem can be fixed right now with faith. Faith in Christ. This is the hope that we preach. 1 John 3:3 reads, And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The scripture verse kind of makes you think that it's putting more of the action on yourself than on Christ, which is wrong. You see, we humans, we like to take credit for everything, even when the credit is not due, including our faith. I believe the term is called creature credit. I heard it somewhere. And it kind of reminds me of that scripture verse in Romans, for people who exchange the truth of God for a lie and rather worship the creature rather than the creator. How many people worship themselves and don't want God? That's what it reminds me of. Well, just to let you know that God, he gets all the glory, and God gets all the credit for our faith. He is the one who has enlightened us, not we ourselves. Everything is from Him. Now I've used this scripture verse plenty of times. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this verse, it makes it very, very clear that faith is a gift. And one thing that I find so sad is that many people, they don't tap into the gifts that God has bestowed upon them. They rather throw those gifts away, including the gift of faith. But for those who believe in Christ, Ephesians 2:19 reads, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So like Caleb, who had faith in God concerning his inheritance, we have the same faith and the same God towards our spiritual inheritance because of our Lord God and Savior Jesus. Maintain your confidence in the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left. The King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those are the words of Jesus. The second application is that we can all do a better job wholly following the Lord. Now, wholly following the Lord isn't about establishing a long list of good works to do for others. It's not a honey-do list for your spouse. Good deeds are good, however, they're insufficient. To wholly follow the Lord is to have an undivided heart. Let me ask, are you 100% committed and devoted to God and His Word? Now, if we examine ourselves, none of us can say we are. None of us have lived up to God's holy, perfect standards, His commandments. You know, God has blessed us with lives to live and enjoy with others. But are you living more for self or for God? You know, when Jesus came down to earth from His throne in heaven, He committed His time not only living 100% for the will of God the Father, but also 100% for you and I. Because of God's commitment, because of God's sacrifice for us, no believer will ever be snatched out of His hand. None. Wholly following the Lord is making the sacrifice with our lifestyles, our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It's becoming more Christ-like in our walks. Romans 14, 7 and 8 reads, for none of us lives to himself and none dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You know, as our faith deepens, we should desire to have a heart like God's, full of compassion and love for other people, We should also have a desire to have a heart that breaks like God's concerning the things that breaks God's heart. Conforming to His likeness. So many believers, they're on the fence. They're not taking a stand on issues that have become accepted in today's society. And we all know what these issues are, because there is so much opposition coming our way, trying to poke holes in the God's Word. Those issues may be accepted in the world today, but they're not accepted in His Word. And His Word is the foundation of which we must follow. Being wholly committed to God is completely committed to His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reads, "All Scripture, not some, but all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, only God knows. But many followers of Christ tend to only follow what suits them. And they turn away from other things that they simply just don't agree with. 2 Corinthians 5:15 reads, "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." Friends, I would ask you to pray to God. Ask Him to remove any hatred from your heart. Gain a heart for others, like Christ had the heart for you and I. Caleb wholly followed the Lord because he had an undivided heart. Friends, unless you are born again, you cannot please the Father. Romans 8:8 reads, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So God bless believers with a new heart for others, and not just self. Ezekiel 11:19 reads, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." Caleb, he was such a wonderful example. He wasn't perfect, but he did not sway away from God. He did not test God, but trusted God completely in his circumstance. This is what God says about Caleb in Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. Reads, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Believers, one of the best scripture applications that I know of that can help us in our walks is found in Colossians 3:17. It reads, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Holy following the Lord is bringing glory to His name through the example of your life. Having a heart to wholly follow the Lord is commitment. You know, it's getting involved with things that God desires for us. Reading His Word, praying, sharing the good news, helping others within the church, and outside of the church as well. Wholly following the Lord. It isn't putting up a fight. We can't pick and choose what we're going to decide to follow in His book. So friends, we can all come up with excuses for not wholly following the Lord. However, if we are truly honest with ourselves, we can all do a better job making a habit to follow Him wholly. Let me remind you that God gave you a new heart for others and for God Himself. Just look at what God did with the Apostle Paul's heart. He had a heart of hatred towards Christians, but God changed it and gave him a heart of compassion. And not only for Christians, for everybody. And God can certainly change yours as well. The third application is let the years that pass by strengthen your faith. Now at this point in time, Caleb is 85 years old. And he has a great attitude, which was revealed in Joshua. He said, "As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." He also said, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Caleb's strength wasn't in his physicality. His strength was in the Lord. His faith in the Lord, that was his strength. And it did not weaken over time, but got even stronger. Believers, consider the miracle God has done in you. Let's not be like the complaining Israelites, because things don't always go our way. Life is a challenge. And bad things such as hurt, disappointment, sadness, loss, they're all part of life. And it won't go away. And as we grow older, the more and more things we're going to need to leave behind. And limitations will become more frequent for us. But blaming God, it's just not the answer. I have a scripture verse that's not in your bulletins. It's Isaiah 46:4. It reads, "Even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." That's a comforting scripture. You know, our attitude towards God should be thankful and grateful for what He has blessed us with, regardless of the time. Everything has a time and a season. And God gives and God takes away. Like Caleb, let's remain trusting in the Lord. Let the years strengthen your faith and not weaken it. And just consider the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should even be called children of God. Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Father. Thank you for the gifts you have bestowed upon us, Father. Thank you for the gift of faith. that you have given us, and we not ourselves. Thank you for enlightening us to your redemption plan. Thank us for helping us learn your ways through your word. Thank you, Father, for your example, through your Son, Jesus. And we are thankful for what your Son, Jesus, has done for us, bearing all our sins on the cross for us. We are forever grateful. Father, as we continue our walks, I ask you for help. I ask you for guidance in each of our lives, despite the circumstances, despite the roadblocks, despite when we fall away. I pray that you continue to pick us back up and lead us on the straight and narrow. Help us, Father. Keep our eyes wide open, especially in this world where everything is so dark and accepted. Help us remain bold and firm and remain footed on the foundation of your word and your Son, Jesus. Father, as we grow older, we know that limitations will come our way. But thank you, Father, for continuing to uphold us with your righteous right hand. Thank you, Father, for the people you may have put in our place to help us with our needs, to have given us blessings. But it all starts with you, Father, and what you have given us, the blessings that you have given us. I just pray that if there's anyone in my hearing that is lost, that they receive in their hearts the seed planted, the gospel, the truth, and a heavenly inheritance that you secure through your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.